Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the very first episode of the Experience Grind podcast. I am co-host number one. My name is Kyle Collins. I'm joined with my very, very, very handsome co-host, Mr. Ryan Demarest.
That's very nice. I was not expecting the handsome right out the gate.
Hey, man, I got to call it like I see it.
I think that's a good way to start it. That's and my equally handsome host,
who also looks so gracious. Like Hobo Jesus.
That's all.
To give an idea to the listeners out there, I do look like Hobo Jesus. But I wear it well, I feel.
I would say so, yes. You're a Hobo Jesus I would like to make friends with and not avoid on the sidewalk, cross the street awesome, to get away awesome. From.
I like it. I think it's because I wear cool t-shirts.
I think so.
That's my modus operandi.
I like it. Yes, that is right.
So I guess, this is episode one, the Experience Grind podcast. The basic idea of this podcast is... Ryan and I will be experiencing different things, and we might mm-hmm. not always like those things, so, but in order to see that to the end, like any good RPG, we will probably have to grind it out, hence the name, The Experience Grind. I think we're going to have a focus primarily on video games and movies. We're both giant dorks,
yep.
so that'll play very well. And this is episode number one, probably subtitled The List.
Ooh. Mysterious.
The List. The List episode. Maybe if it was a TV show, it'd probably be a bottleneck episode, maybe. I don't know if that's the true definition.
I'm not quite sure what a bottleneck episode is.
I don't really either. I just have heard it said before. I want to sound cool.
I know what I'm talking about. Bottleneck.
Yeah.
This is a bottleneck.
Bottleneck. So it's so what we're going to do for these first probably, I think, 20 episodes, Ryan and I are going list our five favorite video games and five favorite movies of all time.
Yes.
And then the other one will experience those, the first person's choice. And then we will come back and talk about those and see how we felt about it. Have a discussion. Typical nerdy shit. We'll probably nerd out about a lot of other things on the side.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a lot of fun. I had some things to get into here. I don't know if we can, if we want
sure.
to. I mean, like I said, I did listen to your first podcast that you did in college. You sent me episode 5.
Called The Weekly Rant.
Yes, called
Very
The Weekly Rant.
Very clever. And
you didn't do a lot of ranting. You did some. You did more than your co-host. You were an angry young college guy.
I still am.
Yeah.
But I tried to hide it better.
So I had some thoughts. You said that you loved Watchmen.
Yes.
Does that still hold true?
In fairness, I believe, and I don't know the podcast as intimately as you who just recently listened to it, I think I was referring to the comic book.
It was the movie.
Okay.
It was the movie because...
I think the movie's good.
Yes.
It does some things very, very well, like the birth of Dr. Manhattan and his kind of time-shifting, like what he's doing when he first becomes Manhattan and gets exposed to the radiation, and then they jump to the future, then they jump to all kinds of places, I think is brilliant. And that movie, through all of its flaws, it did that very well, and that's something not any filmmaker could do, is that origin
story. It handles
story.
A lot very well. And I like Zack Snyder a
yes.
lot. He does a lot of good things. I really enjoy his films.
I My think his movies with, are yeah. always very pretty
yes,
and visually very. Interesting.
My problem with 300, or not 300, Watchmen, 300s, we'll get into that some other time.
Okay.
But my problem with Watchmen, it's not really a problem, but it was the exact thing I had anticipated when I first heard about it. It's a very bloated movie, and it's a very yes. hard graphic novel to condense into mm-hmm. anything. And I mean, in trying to capture everything he wanted to, it balloons, and I love the way he handled Rorschach. I think Rorschach
was
perfectly
perfect.
Cast
yes.
in that movie. Like, a lot of things are really well done. The giant space alien ending, I like how he twisted that into Dr. Manhattan, because that's going to come out of left field.
Yeah, I thought it made a lot more sense.
Yeah, I mean, it worked really well. It felt bloated. Like,
it is. I would say it's bloated in the same way that the Lord of the Ring films are. Which is, especially if you're a fan of those books, like, it's fine, you can deal with it. And even more so, just like the extended editions of The Lord of the Rings, there's a director's cut of The Watchmen,
yeah.
which incorporates the two characters that read the comic outside wow. throughout.
So I've never even seen that
it's
one.
It's even better.
Really?
I mean, the flaws are still there. Like, I think Zack Snyder has no subtlety at times. Like, the scene where Night Owl and Silk Spectre 2 are having sex in the spaceship, and then Hallelujah starts playing as the fire shoots out, like, climaxing, is embarrassingly bad. Like, I feel sorry for anybody who had to digitally work on that scene, like, any part of it. It's bad. And so there's caveats. I like the movie. Not perfect.
So I guess what I'm saying in time.
Yeah.
Your view has softened. It's still a good movie, but it's not as amazing as when I think you had probably just seen it.
Yes. And that's
and that's going to add some things to it.
And that'll come into play in our list because there are some things I left off for fear of them being too new. Okay. I was like, these are my flavors of the week. I don't know if they're going to stand the test of time.
Exactly.
So you're not going to see a lot of new things on my list.
Breaking down the list, when I tried to go through it with games and movies, I was like, okay, is this one that I can watch or play right now and still enjoy it almost, if not as much, as I did the first time? And that was my caveat for making it happen. So
I try to stick with things that stuck with me for longer than just a playthrough. Like things I went back, things I would go back. The key word there is favorite. Things that I really like, it's not the best. So you're going to see picks on my list that are not Citizen Kane or Casablanca, because while those are good,
all time,
I don't want to watch Casablanca every month or so, whereas some of these movies and games on my list, like, I would pick up and play or watch, like, right away.
Yeah.
Every week. I could just do this forever for these things, and I think that comes into play.
So I guess the other thing that I think we'll go ahead and we'll start agreeing right now, because I don't know if we'll be agreeing a lot, but you were also very adamant in your hate for Hayden Christensen, and I have to agree so fucking hard on that. Like, what's crazy, like, okay, so bringing this into more modern times, Guardians of the Galaxy, Groot, a fucking tree, is a better actor than wooden Hayden Christensen. Holy shit.
I wholeheartedly agree.
That dude was, like, you know, I was a bit exaggerated. He was easily the second or third worst part of those fucking trilogies.
Yeah, we talked about this, and he's hands down the worst actor for sure.
Absolutely. In the movies. I felt so bad all the time for Ewan McGregor having to share the screen with that.
Or Natalie Portman, who is a very talented, established actress who's great in Black Swan.
Yeah.
But then you watch her in Episode 2, which is, I think, the worst Star Wars movie by far.
I would probably agree. Even that's the only one of the trilogy I own.
Amazing. Really?
Yeah, it's weird. Of the original trilogy, I should say.
Yeah.
I still like Episode 1 a whole lot.
Phantom Menace?
Yes. For one reason, and one reason of all.
Jar Jar.
No, not Jar Jar.
Baby Annie.
Damn it. Do you want to take a guess?
Darth Maul?
God damn. Yes, Darth Maul is the best fucking thing ever, man.
It's the one thing George Lucas does kind of subtly and smartly in those first three films is he creates a villain without giving you backstory, because that's what ruins Darth Vader. That's what ruins Boba Fett in those. You see, he's a clone and he has a kid and he watched his father get beheaded and now he hates Jedi. So now when you watch Boba, there's so much needless backstory to it. Darth Maul shows up. He's badass. He kills people. He dies. Yeah. That's all you learn.
And he's very intimidating on screen, too. Like,
yeah.
And that's, I think that's Ray Park. Is it Ray Park or Parker?
Ray Parks.
Mm-hmm. What's cool, what I've always liked about him, and this is a trilogy I like, or a trivia fact I like to tell people, is that he was originally cast just as the fight choreographer for that movie.
Oh, okay.
And then, like, he could perform the Darth Maul move so much better than the actor. They're just like, well, fuck it, we'll just put this guy in makeup.
Yeah, especially if you're not talking or anything.
Yeah.
It's a silent part.
He was also Toad in the first X-Men.
He was.
Which is not as cool as Darth Maul.
No, and the makeup is embarrassingly bad.
Yeah, but that first Toad. I will say, you know, coming into this, what we are now with these amazing comic book movies, I don't think we would be here if it wasn't for that first X-Men movie.
No, it brought comic movies to the mainstream, but it also it's very much a movie that is afraid of comic books.
Yeah.
It tries to hide itself.
It does.
And
It was also written by David Hayter, voice of the original Solid Snake.
That's right. Well, David Hayter did a lot comic-wise. I think he did it. I think he wrote the three Blade movies and
I know he wrote
potentially
the first two.
Directed the third one. No. I don't think he directed. David Goyer. I might be wrong on this.
Hader, I know Hader wrote the first two X-Men movies.
Did he?
Yeah, he wrote X and X2. But yeah, I don't think we'd be where we're at with these monumental, ginormous comic book movies. Because that was the first one that really, like... Because before that, the last thing we'd really had was fucking Batman and Robin.
Yes,
which really put a kibosh on everything for a good long while. People were just fucking... And they should have been. That movie was awful.
Yeah, it's awful, but in a way that I kind of adore, because it embraces the batshit craziness and ramps up to 11. We're going to have Arnold Schwarzenegger do an ice pun every single line of dialogue. We're going
to
have a...
Ice to meet you.
Yeah, it's watchable. It is just a watchable mess.
But it's funny because I'm really against the grain in that. I think of those original Batman movies, mm-hmm. my favorite one is the Val Kilmer one.
Which is Batman Forever.
Yes, which is super weird. And it might have been because of the age I was, the time that it hit me. I like the first two Burton ones, but I really, really enjoy that third one a lot. And I like Val Kilmer as Batman. I thought he did a really cool job.
I think he is a great Batman. I think Kilmer is a very bad Bruce Wayne. And it's what happens with George Clooney is the reverse. And Clooney comes in and he is a great Bruce Wayne, horrible Batman.
Terrible Batman.
Yep.
And those bat suits.
Yeah. Yeah, like, they're really bad.
Those bat suits reminded me of when I was a kid and, like, Batman was cool, so they tried to put out as many toys as they could. And I remember they had Arctic Attack Batman, who had, like, this white zebra stripe print on him but I had that Batman, of course. But that's what those suits reminded me of, like, just needless marketing.
It's the Superman in a space costume, spacesuit. That's, like, Superman the ultimate.
Why does Superman need a motorcycle?
He can breathe. Yeah. He can breathe anywhere he wants. He doesn't need a spacesuit. It's marketing.
He can fucking fly in space. He doesn't need a motorcycle.
That's right.
Yeah, well, Spider-Man doesn't need a motorcycle.
He has to compete with Lobo, obviously. Yeah.
Lobo is badass.
Lobo is one of the best DC characters, and we're getting a Cyborg movie. Give me a Lobo movie first. I'm more interested in that.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Like the DC's answer to Deadpool.
I think I do see Lobo coming in at some point in the future.
I would hope
so. It's only for fan service. Because I think these comic book movies are blowing up right now. But at a point, I think they're going to have to start dipping into more fan service to keep the real dedicated people around and seeing it.
I think so, and I think it's people want to see new stuff as well now. Yeah, because we've seen Superman so many times. We've seen Wolverine so many times. Spider-Man.
Not only Spider-Man, how many times have you fucking seen the Spider-Man backstory?
Yes.
Nobody needs to see it anymore.
Nope.
Move on. We know that.
We all know Uncle Ben dies, and he feels guilty, and that turns him on to being a hero, and that's been covered so much. I agree. Just move on. Move on.
Well, I really like this banter we got going here, buddy.
Yeah.
What do you think?
It's good.
Should we break into these lists here?
Unless you have any more questions, but
no. I mean, I've got some, but I don't want to shoot my whole load.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say you can rapid fire. I'll go through them real quick.
I would rather save them for we'll have more icebreakers and more things to discuss later on down the line. So
next time I'll prepare some questions for you.
Awesome. Yeah.
Let's do that.
So I'm gonna have you start off, man. I want to hear your number five. Starting the list now, number five video game.
Okay. Let me start by saying, for both my movies and my games, number 1 through 4 were easy. They are a lock. They were never, ever going to change. But this fifth slot, it kept changing. I had one idea. It shifted, and it kept shifting around up until about an hour before the podcast started. And then I decided.
I know that feeling, man. I know that feeling.
Yeah. So my number five... Walking Dead Season 1, the Telltale game.
Really?
Wow. I think it's fantastic and just a piece of art. It is transcendent. It is not just a game for gamers. It is a story like no other video game, and it makes you do some really interesting things. It makes you have these hard, difficult choices. And what they do so brilliantly, because this has been done in Mass Effect and other RPGs before, is when you have a decision, they have a timer that's like 5 seconds long, and you have to make quick decisions. And you will hate yourself for these decisions later on. It's hard, and it starts right away. But just the whole first season's arc with Clementine and kind of her getting to know Lee and Lee becoming the father figure. And then I'm not going to go into spoilers towards what happens, but it ends in a very sad place that moved me like no other video game.
I'm excited to do this because I have played Walking Dead season one, but I've only played chapter one because I have the whole season.
Yes.
But I encountered a problem with my computer when I was playing it. And for some reason, when chapter two started, none of the choices I made in chapter one transferred. And it really took me out of everything. So this is a perfect excuse for me to play it again because I really liked what I did play of it.
Yeah.
So now I have another chance to do it again. Hopefully whatever bug that was like probably more than a year ago.
Hopefully got patched out.
I would have to imagine at this point it's been fixed. We'll see. Mm-hmm. But that's awesome. So hell yeah, man.
And yeah, I can't recommend that one enough. And I think if you get through it, you'll really like it.
I'll give you back to mine. We'll go into my number five. Now, my number five, I have two choices right here scratched off because my list was in flux so much. My movies were pretty much set. A few of them did float around. But my games, man, goddamn my game. And like, as I was telling you off the air before we started recording, if I had not changed this, 90% of my list of games would be PS1 era games. And that's not the only reason I changed it.
Yeah.
But it did figure in a little bit to my top five. This number one game, or my number five game, I should say. I think it's really set the pace of where I'm at in gaming now, currently. And I'll go ahead and tell you right now, it's Halo 1.
I am surprised.
The very first Halo is my
really
fifth
thought you were
going
to say Dark Souls.
No, I tell you, Demon's Souls is number six. That was one that was constantly in flux.
I really figured it was going to be a Souls game.
But the entire Halo series, man, really set off a big change in me. You know, my buddy got an Xbox when they launched, and he had Halo.
Mm-hmm.
And I played it, man, and I had never played anything like that. You know, I'd played some Doom, but I'm not really a keyboard mouse guy. I'm a console gamer at heart. Always have been. I think I probably always will be.
Okay.
I like PC games. All the PC games I really like, I play with an Xbox controller anyways. So, but yeah.
As do I.
Halo 1 really set off this crazy thing in me because, you know, I never played. You know, I played GoldenEye, but that's like a train controlling, really. I mean, it's not accurate. The dual joystick controls. You know, and that, you know, it's bringing me...
It was revolutionary when it came out.
It changed everything.
And it made first-person shooters playable on consoles.
It was a hard choice between Halo 1 and Halo 2. I probably put more time into Halo 2 just because of the multiplayer. But for just the game itself, I had to pick Halo 1 because that set off the... Like, as soon as I played it there, I started saving up and bought my own Xbox. And... Dude, I can't tell you how many weekend nights in the summer we spent with four Xboxes at my friend's aunt's condo with 16 kids, like, you know, 17, 18-year-old kids sitting around smoking pot, playing Halo 1 for, like, hours, dude. And it was so much fun. And I got to say, you know, number five, Halo 1. So
that's I get that because... On my number six, seven, like, one of the ones I took off was Halo 2.
Yeah, see,
for the reasons you said. Yeah. I think Halo 1 was revolutionary. It's maybe the better game, but I think later on when you get towards the Flood stuff, it kind of loses me a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't like those levels as much, especially
the level design
the library.
Is very weird.
It's very open and expansive. It's not as tight as some of the later ones. And like you said, the multiplayer in 2 just hooked me.
Well, because it had Xbox Live right out of the box, man. You didn't have to LAN up.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, Halo also has set me on the path that I am now. Because if I tried not to add a lot of early stuff. But man, I play Destiny on a daily basis.
Okay.
And I love that game.
I have not played it yet, but I'm going to get it now that the Taken King has come out with all of them in one.
Dude, Taken King has changed, like... It was I can't believe looking back now that I sat through playing every day of Destiny Year One because Taken King, such a better game. It's more complete.
I've heard they really smoothed out the experience and they make the leveling much more intuitive and...
Well, and just story, man.
Yeah?
There's a lot of back issues with season or year one of Destiny. I guess like before the game launched, they fired their main writer, and the whole game went through this giant rewrite. And when you play, it's very bare bones. You don't know why you're doing anything. Mm-hmm. But they really solved that in year two. So I can't recommend it. If you get it on PS4, man, I'm there with you all day.
Yeah. Well, I have to get a PS4 first. That's a sad thing.
Yeah, I know. I'll convince you someday.
So, I'm going to have to for Uncharted.
Oh, yeah.
It's coming out in March, so I'll have a PS4 by March. All right. That leaves number four.
Number four for you.
All right. Number four game. And I went with a Nintendo NES era game. And this is another one, too. This is kind of an asterisk on this one.
Okay.
Mega Man 3.
Really? Okay.
Most people would put Mega Man 2, and I might be that person. I probably spent more time with Mega Man 2, but I think Mega Man 3 has the better bosses. I think it's the first introduction of Rush as the sidekick character that gives you the abilities to jump higher, to ride on, instead of like the generic item 1, item 2, item 3 from Mega Man. And I think the music is by far the best soundtrack on the Nintendo.
Is Mega Man 3, is that the one that has Snake Man?
Needle Man, Gravity Man, the best. Shadow Man. Man's music is just amazing.
I don't know how we've gone this far without being best friends. Because Mega Man 3 is one of my all-time favorite. Because Snake Man is my favorite Mega Man boss and favorite Mega Man level ever, hands down. Easily. So that's fucking awesome. I look forward to playing Mega Man 3 again.
Yes. I love it. I think it's great. That's
I'm a big Mega Man fan. I've grown up, and in fact, you know, one of my greatest friends now, Casey Reuter, I used to get in arguments with him when we'd go to the library. I didn't really even know him at this point, but back in my day of a child, before internet was everywhere, you had to go to the library to get on the internet.
Yeah.
And I would go to the library and I'd print out cool pictures of Mega Man.
And you pay 5 cents per page.
Yeah.
I did the same thing.
10 cents for color.
Yes. I never did color. Oh, I was no.
I did. I wanted that Mega Man thrifty. Shooting that Mega Blaster in full glory. But I saw him printing out pictures of Spider-Man and I was like, you know, Mega Man would beat the shit out of Spider-Man, right? Not something I agree with now.
Yeah.
But at the time, I was a cocky kid. I was really into Mega Man. I was really into Mega Man X.
Interesting.
I love this, man. This is awesome.
Okay.
I will so have fun playing Mega Man 3.
I'll plant this little earworm, maybe for a future episode. Not the biggest fan of Mega Man X.
Really?
Yeah.
The rest of them are not great. They drop in quality really quickly. But Mega Man X, especially for a Super Nintendo outing, was really, really cool. I like Mega Man 8, too, the Anniversary Collection.
I thought 8 was good. Yeah, the 9 and 10, the new ones that were in the old NES style, I think are perfect.
I never played those, actually. So,
I think 10, you start to get some sketchy, I don't know, I feel like they kind of run out of steam.
Really?
You get like Sportsman is a boss, and it's just a baseball with eyes. And you can feel the reach. But 9 is still really great. 9 does some interesting stuff. There's a boss called Galaxy Man, and it introduces some like portals like from the Valve game
into the really
dynamics, and it's very interesting what they can do.
I don't care. Mega Man 3, Snake Man, best forever since I was a child, never changed, best fucking boss ever.
For some reason I always liked Woodman, and Woodman's I don't know why
I identified
he is
with Snake
not
Man,
cool at all. But,
man, Snake Man is on point. I love it, dude.
Yes, awesome. Mega Man 3,
this is awesome. All right, so we'll jump into my number four. Okay, so this should probably not be a big surprise. We're moving right into the PlayStation era now. My number four favorite game, Metal Gear Solid 1.
Not a surprise.
No, it should not be.
No.
I'm a giant Metal Gear fanboy. I wear it on my sleeve unabashedly. Love the series. For all of Kojima's craziness, I eat it up. I know it really turns off a lot of people, and as the series has gone on, it's turned off more and more. Which is probably why he's not at Konami anymore.
Oh,
unfortunately.
I think it's the high production values. He demands a lot out of his games.
Yeah.
I think that was probably it.
But they're fucking great games, man. They're not sloppy. There's nothing. Well, I take that back. Unfortunately,
I could point out some sloppy things in 2 and 3. Snake Eater.
Yeah, maybe.
I think 1 and 4 are almost perfect games.
Really? See, 4 is probably my least favorite in the series.
Interesting.
Yeah. I just, again, for the same reasons of Watchmen that we discussed, it feels really bloated.
But it has, I think, the highest highs. Like, the return to Shadow Moses really is cool. One that of the was best really things
cool.
I've done in PS3.
That was cool. I agree. But getting there sometimes, man, takes so much. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, man. I'm currently playing 5 still, and I've slowed down because of some. I hate spoilers, but it's hard to not hear things, especially in this day of information. Mm-hmm. But I've heard that once chapter 2 hits, I guess Metal Gear Solid 5 was originally planned to be a 5 chapter game.
Oh,
that okay. has been cut down to 2. Because Konami, of course, was just mm-hmm. putting massive amounts of pressure on Kojima, which from the, I guess it was a $500 million development on that game. I don't think it's made back that, which, I see both sides. Mm-hmm. I do, but I don't know, man.
I have not yet played 5 because I hear it's very light on the story and more on the building the base, the open-ending gameplay, capturing people, and that kind of stuff. And that's not why I play the Metal Gear games.
Yeah. And I think the story is there. It's not what I like is that it's not like Metal Gear Solid 4, where
two-hour cutscene.
After you walk 10 feet, and now you're going to watch a cutscene for... Yeah, I think they... Like, all the FMVs in that game turn out to be, like, 4 hours or something.
Oh, I don't doubt that for
insane.
A second.
Which is insane. And that kills me for replayability.
Let's see. I think I beat the game, like, right before work. And then that final cutscene, which is over an hour long. I was late.
Yeah.
Like, I just was late for work because I couldn't
I believe it, man.
Walk away.
Yeah. You can't. I mean, fuck. You just beat Metal Gear 4. That's the conclusion of Snake. Like, mm-hmm. you're going to find it out. But going back to Metal Gear Solid 1, again... much like my Halo choice, when I played Metal Gear Solid 1, I had never played anything like that. That game broke the mold, like, in a lot of ways. Like, it starts with that very cinematic opening, which mm-hmm. I've never seen in a game. They do the credits at the beginning, like at a movie. It's this very...
As he's swimming underwater.
Yeah, and then as you're riding up the elevator, the craziness of all the bosses and the enemy, like, I don't know... That's such a high point. Like, there's so many iconic things in that game.
And say Psycho Mantis is one of the most Fantastic. Clever bosses.
Yeah.
And then I think Sniper Wolf carries, like, a lot of emotion that I don't think is in the rest of the series. Like, it doesn't come anywhere near, like, the moment between Ocelot and Sniper Wolf at the end.
Or Emmerich and Sniper Wolf?
Ocelot, right? It's, no, what?
It's Hal.
Who
is Otacon?
Otacon. Not Ocelot. Yeah. Otacon. Yes. Yeah. That moment is one of the most emotional. And
when he's in love with her, but Snake has to do what Snake has to do, man. Yeah. Like,
which makes it more poignant if you let Meryl die.
Yeah. Which,
because then Snake has to fill that role.
Mm-hmm. It's a great game, man. I love it so. You're going to play that one, but I don't think you'll have a problem playing
that one. I've played that. I'll play it again happily.
And, if you want, have you ever played Twin Snakes?
I have.
Okay.
I was going to ask you what you thought about that.
I love Twin Snakes. Yes. The cutscenes are a bit silly because they just ran. I mean, everything is on 11.
At one point, he's jumping
on a missile and backflips off of it, but it's fun. And it's cool. It pays homage to the original, but it's really fun. So, I mean, you could do either or. We'll discuss either. I think they both count. Metal Gear Solid 1 and Twin Snakes.
Okay.
So.
I am looking forward to going back to that.
Awesome.
Because I think that's a brilliant game. That's a good one. All right. Number 3. I'm going to come more current. This is... I think this might be my most recent game.
Yeah? Okay.
Mass Effect 2.
This almost made my list, too.
I could not put this game on there. This one gives me the feels when playing it. There are just so many good scenes from the opening where you're racing against the clock and you escape and you die and just the balls to bring back this character from the first game, kill them off in the first 10 minutes of the game. It's so good. And then it just keeps on with the suicide mission aspect. I think the party members are some of the best in any party in any RPG I've ever played. Morden Solace, Garrus is back, like... Tally, everybody is just so good in this game.
So, okay. So here's, I'd like to ask this when I meet people that have played all the Mass Effects.
Yes.
Kaden or Ashley, who did you take?
I I chose poorly, and Ashley stayed alive, even
though... poorly?
She's a space racist.
Ah, so what, man? You can teach her better.
She's a horrible person, and she never gets better. I think by the end of Mass Effect 3, she was still a despicable person. And I think I always picked a renegade whenever I talked to her after the first game.
I played every game as a renegade. And I will never not...
I can't do it.
I will never not be renegade. My Shepard is such an asshole.
I can't
do it. For no reason. Other than he has to save all of humanity's ass, and nobody cares. And he's like,
how can you be mean to Thane? How can you be mean to Morden?
That's not hard, man.
I can't do it.
Hard line it, dog.
Can't
do it.
Gotta
do it. Make Morden do what you want to do. I'm fucking Captain Shepard, man. Who are you? You're my scientist.
Oh.
Yeah, do what I do. No, great can't choice, man. And yes. It also brought in, what are the collectors?
Yes.
They are assholes. Holy God.
And yeah, just so frightening. And oh my God, the way that movie ended, or sorry, the way that game ended is just incredible, with the Reapers coming in. You can say whatever you want about the third game. It didn't live up to expectations for some, but just that ending, it left me with so much like hope and wonder. It's not since like The Matrix came out, and I was like, they can do anything. And then they did shit.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh my God, just Neo can fly now. Like the world, that's how I felt at the end of Mass Effect 2. I was like, this world is just starting, and it's
I loved Mass Effect 2. I was so looking forward to Mass Effect, and Mass Effect almost made my list too. I was going back and forth between those, and again, you know, it was in serious contention for my number 5 spot. The Mass Effect 2 on Insanity, though, I don't know.
I did it.
You did it?
Yeah.
See, I got so close, and so many times, I beat the first one on Insanity, and then I think, you know, other things came out, but I really tried, because I used to be a big achievement hunter when I was younger.
I had that obsessive compulsion too, where I had to get everything, but I love the story so much.
It was so good.
I played it like 5 times through in the first year I had it.
I like Jack a lot.
Subject Zero, yeah.
She kicks a lot of ass, so yeah, I'm going to gladly play Mass Effect 2.
Yes, me too.
Awesome.
I would love to re-experience that again.
So that's no problem with me. So I guess moving on to my number 3, I already know it, but I just want to confirm that before I get ahead of myself. Yeah, so number 3, boy, and I tell you, if I could have it, number 3, number 2, and number 1 for me would all be a 3-way tie for number 1. But number 3 is, I still play this game every year. I play it from beginning to end. I love every second of it. And that's Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
Okay. I figured this would be on your list. Thanks to that Facebook post a while back.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, it's easily in my... It's the best Castlevania. It's the best Metroidvania. I think it's better than Metroids. Mm-hmm. It just does everything so perfectly. The level design, the sprite design, Alucard looks so awesome in everything that he does. The RPG aspects, the weapon change aspects, the music. Like, no part of this game is bad to me. I love every aspect.
Castlevania is right up there with Mega Man for some of the best video game music of all time.
Especially Symphony of the Night, man, because they got into this crazy, like, Japanese early 90s hair metal phase. And there are some crazy, crazy rocking guitar
from the Nintendo, like, they are rocking it. Like, their songs just are, like, pure rock. And it's, they're great.
And I've always been a big fan of the Castlevania series, but Symphony of the Night brought that aspect of, like, you know, the safe, you know, you don't have just one life that you have to beat the castle. There's this massive castle to explore. Plus the fact that you're not a living vampire hunter. You are the son of Dracula coming to take on your father. And Alucard is just, I mean, he's typical 90s androgynous male, like, you know, he looks very feminine, but he kicks a lot of ass. But I love Alucard as a character. I always have. He's fucking fantastic. So
good.
Symphony of the Night, number 3, man.
I look forward to playing it. I have never finished it.
Really?
I've played 30 minutes of it, and that's about it. And it's not because I wasn't hooked, but I just didn't seek it out when it was on PlayStation. I have it downloaded on my Xbox 360 now.
Awesome. Okay.
I just never got around to it. Yeah. So,
Like I said, I play this game through once a year. I know almost all the secrets, where everything is. I love this game, so
I look forward to playing that.
Awesome.
It's been on my list. I'm glad to take that off.
Nice.
Awesome choice. All right, number 2, and this one's gonna be very controversial, and I don't think you're going to agree with me, because not many people do.
Well, it's your list.
It is my list.
Yeah, so
this is a game I play weekly and have played weekly for near 8 years now. Not specifically this version of the game, but the series. It started with Guitar Hero.
Wow.
Back in... this Guitar Hero is not the choice, but this is where it started. My pick for number two, Rock Band 3.
Wow.
Okay. I love the Rock Band games, and maybe it's because I'm not very musically gifted, and I can get it out through these games, but man, I could... drum on expert, guitar on expert, nice. Sing on expert, keys on expert, pro keys too, where you're using both hands going around. I love these games.
Wow.
And I think next week Rock Band 4 comes out, and I'm just so fucking over the moon.
I am going to be getting that, I will say. And yeah. I played some Rock Band 1. Man, my bread and butter was Guitar Hero 1 and 2, dude. I played the fuck out of those games. I'll put it up after we leave, my Facebook profile picture. I have a picture of me headbanging playing Bulls on Parade by Rage Against the Machine.
Yes.
And, like, dude, we used to play so much of that. I don't know. No, I think maybe I never really got into the Rock Band series because of the price point. Because when they were really popular, I didn't have a great job. Mm-hmm. And I could, you know, it's at front, it's expensive to get into, but I do remember playing a lot. I really liked what I did play at parties. I remember I always had to play drums on expert. Spoiler, yes. I'm a drummer in real life.
And a good one. Yeah, thank you. Very good one.
But I found that if you anything less, like the timings are off to me. And I don't know if that, I don't know what it is, but I cannot play the drums on anything but expert. And I'm not bragging.
No,
I'm just stating. But yeah, that's awesome. I don't know song selection. I've never played 3, so that'll be something completely new for me to get into.
I think it's the best soundtrack of the 3. And like I said, it brings in keys and it supports pro drums, which are the 4 pads, and then you have 3 cymbals on top.
Okay.
So it feels more authentic. You can even get like a second bass pedal for the hi-hat.
Nice.
If you're that inclined, which I am and I do.
Awesome.
But it's the best.
Awesome.
It's the best of the
series. So like, I guess Rock Band... was that Harmonix?
It's Harmonix who did Guitar Hero 1 and 2.
And then they broke off.
And then Activision took over, much like the Call of Duty split.
Yeah.
Activision took it over.
And then what do they make? Is it still just Guitar Hero?
Well, I think now it's Guitar Hero Live is what they're doing.
Okay.
Because both Rock Band and Guitar Hero went away. So they continue
Guitar Hero, but they also brought in multiple instruments for it.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
It's Guitar Hero, but yeah, you can play with the whole band. But
Rock Band was Harmonix. Cool. Yeah, I like Harmonix. So
every single one, Beatles Rock Band, Lego Rock Band, I am just such a fan.
Nice. Okay.
Such a fan of them.
Like I look forward to that. I mean, I'm a big music nerd. I will not say no to playing music games for however long it takes me. So
awesome.
So I guess was that your number two? Yeah,
number two
on my list. For real, again, you know, number two is a very, very, very close second to my number one. And the only reason my number one is my number one, I will say probably because more of nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
I think number two is probably the better game. And but number two on my list, it's going to break the norm a bit. Shadow of the Colossus.
Interesting.
It is hands down, dude.
I did not expect this.
This game to me is so amazing. Just every aspect of it, from the desolate bareness of the landscape to the fact that you don't do anything but take on these giant creatures.
It's just bosses. But none of the grinding. Just bosses.
And the fact that, like, you know, have you played Shadow of the Colossus?
I played it through. Okay. Yes. Yeah, and I'm very happy you brought it up, because now I get to introduce this to Laura.
Yeah.
Who really wanted to
go into it. And the fact that, like, as you do it, you're corrupting yourself more to save this girl you love. And, you know, maybe when we get into my movie list a little bit, you'll find out I'm really kind of a sap if it's done well.
So am I.
So the fact that this dude is sacrificing his entire humanity to bring back this girl,
mm-hmm.
and they do it so well, like, and you know, it's very painful for him to do it, because after you kill them, all those black eels come out and they go into you,
mm-hmm.
and you get more corrupted as you go on, like in early KOTOR, like as you, if you went dark side, it's, dude, it's so good. Like, so, like, I hate the phrase games as art, but if I was to choose a game to show off as an art piece, it would be Shadow of the Colossus.
Interesting.
So.
That's, I can't wait to have this longer discussion with you after I replay it, because I have some issues with Shadow of the Colossus.
Okay, cool.
Which we'll get into.
Yeah, but yeah.
I agree. I think it is games as art. I think that is something you can show people, and it will blow them away.
Yeah.
Anybody. Like I said, some qualms. Mostly with, like, two boss designs I don't really like. But
I probably know what you're talking about, and we'll probably agree with you. But as a whole,
the game is just so gorgeous and inventive, and there's nothing like it on the PlayStation 2.
Awesome. I agree.
It's incredible.
I've got it on the PS3 if you need it. It has no frame rate issues, so...
Yeah.
Much better.
Yeah, because it was a little laggy, if you do 480p and widescreen on the PlayStation 2, it chugs.
Yeah, it gets real chuggy.
I may take you up on that.
Yeah, it's yours, bro.
Awesome.
So, continue, my friend.
All right. So, number one, the game of all time. This is, I think, the only game on the list that I have played more than Rock Band. And it's another one that I've been playing for 10 years. I play it... probably about every year I start a new character and go through and level up. The third one came out.
I know what this is.
Still not as good as Diablo 2.
Okay.
Diablo 2 is my game of all time. It is my desert island game. I had one game to play for the rest of my life, it would be Diablo 2.
I anticipated this being on your list.
Yes.
I didn't know if it was going to be... I didn't know which one. I didn't know if you'd go 3. But yeah.
I think Diablo 3... I like Diablo 3 a lot. I'm not one of the people who hates on that game. I think it's really good.
Yeah.
But just Diablo 2, I love the classes, I think, a little bit more.
Okay.
Like, the assassin feels very different from anything in Diablo 3, or, like, the druid, who is in the expansion, obviously. But just the whole five acts, I think, are fantastic all the way through. Whereas I am not the biggest fan of the fourth act in Diablo 3.
Which one is act 4?
That's the fight.
Is that when you go
heaven,
to hell?
Or it's in heaven. In
okay,
hell. Heaven in hell.
Okay,
hell.
That's where you actually...
Yes.
Okay, because act 5 is when you fight the... That was the expansion,
that's a new
right?
One. Yes.
Okay, so act 4 is Diablo.
Yes, I like act 5 a lot. The expansion that they put in, I do not like the Diablo act.
Act 3 is my favorite act, where you're in hell and you fight Asmodan. I love Asmodan as a character. He's the giant spider
dude with the belly.
And oh man.
Yeah.
So what I will say about Diablo 2 is that I'm very excited to play this because I have only played Diablo 3.
You've never played Diablo 2?
I've never played Diablo 1 or Diablo again, you know.
Ooh.
I was not a computer gamer as a child. I grew up with a console. I never got to experience a lot of this. So I've only known Diablo 3, but I'm a big fan of Diablo 3. I love that game.
Everything
I've ever heard is that, Diablo 2 is better.
It is, but I don't know if you'll feel that way.
Coming from 3?
And having no nostalgia for it, you might not feel that way.
But it'll be an experience. You know, I'm looking forward to that.
I think it'll make for a good discussion.
Okay,
I don't anticipate you thinking Diablo 2 is the better game.
Okay.
Because Diablo 2 and 3 are so similar.
Okay.
But Diablo 2 is what I grew up on. Like, I saw a friend playing it. I bought a graphic card just so I could play.
That's
like,
awesome.
I love this game.
I would have tried that. I bought graphic cards as a kid, but my mom always bought these shitty Walmart. Not knocking my mom. We didn't know.
That's the thing.
Yeah,
that's
but they the always thing, yeah. had onboard graphics cards. And like,
and it's not the easiest. Yeah. If you don't know anything about computers.
You know, now I do. You know, I built my own PC now. I'm about to buy my own new graphics card. All that shit. So I look forward to that. But hell yeah, man. Diablo 2. I'm excited about that.
Me too. Maybe we'll do a hardcore character together.
I would love that. I love I love hardcore in Diablo 3. That's my favorite thing. I always play hardcore. Yeah, I'm into that, man. So, I guess moving on to my number one, I want to give you a chance. Do you want to try to guess what my number one is?
I don't know if I can guess it because I would have guessed Metal Gear Solid or Symphony of the Night. But,
really?
No. I mean, the only thing I could think of, Final Fantasy VII.
You are so fucking good. Because that is exactly my number one.
Is it?
Because, man, dude, Final Fantasy VII changed me as a gamer. I grew up with a Sega and an SNES. And then I remember going to junior high, 7th grade, and all my friends were talking about this Final Fantasy game on PlayStation. And I had a PlayStation because I got it to play Resident Evil.
Mm.
But, I was really weird. Like, I didn't have a memory card for my PlayStation. Really, all I had was demo discs. I didn't know what the fuck a memory card was, because again,
oh man,
coming from the Genesis and the SNES, you always save the game on the cartridge. And I didn't guess, I understood that you don't save to the disc. And I was like, why don't these
games
save?
That's a foreign concept when you're doing
very
cartridges.
Foreign.
The
yeah.
Entire, yeah.
So all my buddies were talking about this Final Fantasy VII game. I've never played a Final Fantasy before in my life. And so I went out and I had my mom rent me Final Fantasy VII. And I remember taking it. I had to hang out with my grandma for some reason. And I hooked my PlayStation up to her TV. And I remember playing. And I must have fought the fucking Scorpion boss like 10 times. Because I didn't have a memory card. And I'd see
these save points.
And I'd be like, huh, I wonder what these are for. Why can't I save my game? This is weird. Memory card? What is that? And so eventually I got... You know, I was like, oh, I need this other physical thing to put in to save the game to. That's why it won't save. But do it like that game, man, is my all-time favorite, hands down.
It's one of the ones that I wanted to put on my list. Though I would also say, like, with 7 is 10. 7 and 10 are indistinguishable for me. And they are in my alternates that yeah. I couldn't make the list.
I like 10. I'm actually playing 10 right now because I bought it on PS Vita. Like the HD re-release?
I played 7 one time, but 10 is the only Final Fantasy game I've played more than once.
Oh, man.
And
I've played 7.
I love that system.
I've played 7 so many times. I don't like 10s because of the fact that I have to play every character, every fight. It gets really grindy to me. I just did air quotes to everybody listening because we're the experience grind.
That's right.
So... 7, man, though, like, man, that opened me up to this whole world that I'd never experienced. Mm-hmm. It brought me into RPGs, and man, I got into Wild Arms, I got into Breath of Fire.
Yeah? Not played either of those two series.
Man, Wild Arms is very close, it's the very first one especially, yeah. But like, I get that opened the door to me, man, like, that, and that, again, like Halo, how it brought me to where I am, dude, Final Fantasy 7 brought me to where I am too, man, that changed me as a gamer.
Yeah.
And I'm so amped for this remake. I have rose-colored glasses.
I'm pessimistic, and I don't think they're going to do right by it.
I don't know if they'll do right. I know I'm going to play the shit out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And love it. If it's PlayStation 4 only, like,
what's crazy,
I'll buy one,
man,
for
like,
that game, too.
I'm one of the rare weird ones. I really loved Final Fantasy 13. I know almost nobody did.
No.
Yeah, but man, I loved 13.
I liked it. I'm not going to hate on it like a lot of people, but I was unimpressed. I did not like the story. I did not like the characters.
Yeah. Well,
I thought the gameplay was brilliant.
Exactly. That's what keeps me hooked. I mean, even the character designer himself came out and basically said that, you know, I believe Lightning is a female Cloud.
Yes.
Which I can see.
Yes.
And speaking, you know, I'm very pumped for Final Fantasy 15. Some other games that were very close on my list were
Let's go through those.
The Kingdom Hearts series, man, were so close.
I love the Kingdom Hearts series.
They're so good. Like, if you had told me that there's going to be a game with Disney characters and Final Fantasy, and it's going to be one of the best game series ever, dude, you're fucking insane. No, there's no way this is ever going to work.
Shame gaming for me.
Oh,
that's
man.
One I played, and I could not tell people about it.
Yeah,
like,
I know exactly what you're talking about.
My sidekicks are Goofy and Donald.
Yeah, right?
And it's amazing. And it's like, you feel like such a child, but that's a good thing, I
think.
Oh,
what? You play in Disney-based worlds? You're swimming with... Okay, swimming with a Little Mermaid is probably the worst level.
It's the worst part of two, yeah.
But
one of the worst, I don't know. Yeah. I think the four-hour opening with not Sora, Roxas, was it?
Noctis, I think is his name? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very
weird.
That
was pretty rough.
And that's, you know, it's another thing, like Metal Gear 2, although they don't stick with it. That was one of my favorite parts about Metal Gear 2 that pissed a lot of people off.
I
they
think
brought
Metal
in
Gear
Raiden.
Solid 2 is brilliant.
Yeah.
It's not my least favorite Metal Gear game.
No, it's very close to Metal Gear Solid 1 to me. It was on my list before 1. I just think 1, again, is another one of those games that you've never experienced before. I love everything 2 does, how it turns everything on its head. It's like Kojima was like, oh yeah, you're going to do this. And it's basically the first game, but it's different. And a different guy. Snake's here, but you're not playing him. It's fucking brilliant. So,
it's the best video game troll.
Final Fantasy VII, bro. You're going to play it.
That's awesome. So you had Kingdom Hearts. What else were some of your alternates?
The Demon Souls series.
Yes. Well,
all of the Souls, really. I didn't like Dark Souls 2. I did not like Dark Souls 2.
Have you played the Scholar of the First Sin
edition? I have not, because, I own it on PS3 and PC, and I just... Dude, that game does not feel like a Souls game to me. It's... And it, especially, I don't know if it's because
more focus was put on Bloodborne. While
exactly, that was I knew that Miyazaki wasn't involved in Dark Souls. And once I found that out, I didn't know that at first.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was playing it, I was like, "Man, this does not feel like Souls." And then once I found that out, I was like, "That's why I don't like this game."
That's how I felt about any Guitar Hero after Guitar Hero 2. It's like, oh, there are like 30 more buttons than there actually are playing because you're just making it hard and difficult and. These song selections are not good.
What else was on my... I should have brought my rough list. I transferred everything to my nice clean notebook.
Oh.
What were some others that almost made it?
So I've got a list. What was in my number 5 that was taken out were 2. Psychonauts.
Was that the Xbox one that you asked?
Okay. Yes. Okay. Which is a Tim Schafer game.
Yeah, Tim Schafer.
So brilliant. Just the best platformer, I think, better than any 3D Mario game, which is probably contentious. I think
I would probably argue, but I've not played it.
Every level is so incredibly genius. It's so different. Like, you're a giant man fighting a giant fish in, like, a miniaturized Tokyo mirroring Godzilla in one stage. And then the next stage, you go into this cubist, neon-colored, Pablo Picasso-inspired Mexican stage, and then you go into a circus made out of a bunch of types of meats and stuff, and it's just...
The meat level I've heard a lot about.
So visually
really
inventive.
Weird, right?
It's supposed to be really hard.
Yeah.
It's some of the hardest platforming in the game, but it's not difficult, but it's just so creative. And that's... You'll notice in a lot of my movies, I go with style and creativity over substance, which is not necessarily a good thing, but... It's something I do.
So, yeah. We'll get into the movies list. I think at what I'm looking at now, man, I think we could go ahead and wrap this first episode up, and we'll just make this the list part one, colon, video games.
Yes.
And that'll be number one in the bank, dude.
That's right.
So, to everybody who stuck around this long, this will be the conclusion of episode one of the Experience Grind podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Collins. This is my host,
Ryan Demarest.
We're going to be grinding some shit out. I'd like to take this time to also give a nice shout out to our audio engineer, Mr. Andrew Hartman. He keeps us sounding very pretty and sexy for all you people. So,
no mic, though, so he says hi in spirit.
So this is us, and this is what you're in for. A lot of rambling and a lot of...
Experiences
and a lot of... faking that we know what we're talking about.
Yes.
So
yes.
Thank you very much. And episode 2 will be the movie list of our top 5. So check that out. Thanks a lot, guys.